Shirley, for your piano. Appreciate that. And all those who are here to graciously raise your hands and sing along. You just don't know how important that is, how much it ministers to the people that are up here when they see people in the pew raising their hand. I can't tell you how important that is. So, praise God. Thank you, Shirley. Okay, where am I here? Okay, this is going to be, the name of the message is part two of last week's message, and ye shall live. This is part two of that message, ye shall live. Amen. And I would like to bring your attention first to the book of John, that would be chapter 5. The book of John, chapter 5. Before we go there, I want to tell you a true story of how that, if we hear, if we open our eyes and ears to what the Lord is doing in our lives, if we don't go through life with closed ears, but if we go through life with ears open to God's Word, if we go through life with our eyes open, if our life is surrendered in Him, He'll speak to us. Amen? He'll show us. And I can tell you emphatically that's the truth. There's no lie in that. That's the truth. God's Word is truth. And God's Word is Jesus. Jesus is the Word made manifest. Amen? He is the Word of God. And I want to preface chapter 5, going to verse 25, with a true story of a missionary, a man who one day found himself riding through a village that he would later go back 6 months later to evangelize and to witness. But he was riding through this village, and in Norfolk, it was in the UK years ago, as he was riding his bike, he couldn't help but yell out. As he was driving or riding his bike, and it was a peaceful morning. It was a beautiful day, and it was peaceful out. And yet he had the urge to yell out these words: "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." And he felt prompted to say it again: "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." And 6 months later, he went back to that town, that village, and he started to evangelize and to preach. And he started to knock on doors and ask people where they were with the Lord. Were they saved? Did they know the Lord? And how that, as he knocked on this one door, he asked this woman, "Do you know the Lord? Are you saved from sin, death, and hell?" And she says, "Oh yes, 6 months ago, I was in great despair. And I was outside and I was pleading with God to show me what to do. And He spoke to me and I heard a voice, 'Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world.' And I said, 'Oh Lord, if that's You, tell me that again.'" And she said, as she related the story to this man, she heard it again. The same thing: "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." And she gave her life to Jesus. Amen. The Lord resurrected her life from death, from despair, by the hearing of the Word of God, by hearing God's voice. Amen. That's a true story. And I want to show you something here. In verse 25. Well, let's go to verse 24. Let's go to verse 24. Amen. It says here, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come unto condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live." The name of the message today is, "And ye shall live." This is part two from last week, and I want you to understand that the Lord is able to make nothing into something. He's able to make beauty from ashes, from the ruined heap of ashes in your life. He can resurrect your life from ruin, from sin, from the depths of sin, from the depths of carnality in your life, from the depths of despair. You might have health issues and problems. You might have financial problems. But I can tell you the Lord can deliver you from those.
Amen.
The Lord can deliver you from financial trouble. He can deliver you from health trouble, physical. He can deliver you from the wrong way of thinking, from despair of thinking the wrong way and repeating the devil's words that he sits on your shoulder and tells you. You don't have to listen to the devil anymore. I'm here to tell you that the Lord can deliver you from that. The Lord can deliver your life from the wicked snares and traps of the devil. He's been doing this for 6,000 years. I think he knows how to do it. I think he knows how to trip people up. But people need to know how to guard their hearts. People need to be reinforced with the knowledge and understanding that Jesus Christ came to heal and to deliver. Amen? The devil came but for to kill, steal, and destroy. So we know that we have an adversary. We know that the devil is death. That's his name. That's his way. That's his purpose. Is to destroy and to kill, to steal. To steal the Word of God from you and me. To steal the things that are good, our health, the hope that we have in Him, salvation. To steal that thing that the Lord has given us by deceiving people all over the world. By deceiving people into thinking and that it's okay to do this and it's okay to do that. It's okay to fall back into this. And after the Lord had delivered you from that, it's not okay. It's not okay, I'm telling you. The devil's going to send people your way. Might send a good-looking woman in your life or a good-looking man in your life to try to draw you away from the Lord. He might send money your way. To put your eyes on money. He might do all kinds of other things with material goods. To try to put your focus on things instead of the giver of things. Instead of the God that owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Amen. Instead of the true life giver that breathes life into you and me. As he did with Lazarus. Well, there's so much to learn and there's so much to be aware of. There's so much that we need to know to be on guard. To be men and women that are given wholly over to the purpose of serving God and not compromising our life. Not willing to compromise. Because where the willingness is to compromise, you've already done compromised. If you're willing to do it. And it's what's done in your heart, your mind, that goes into your mind and into your heart, that you allow the devil to play with you. And you play with that. If you hold hands with the devil, and you hold hands with all these titillating things in your life, The devil is going to make sure that he traps you somehow unless you resist, and he will have to flee from you. But I'm just trying to tell you that sin and the practice of sin brings forth certain death. Amen? Spiritual death. And rebellion. And all these things that lead to death. There is no hope in this world unless the Lord unlocks the door. Unless the Lord bolts open that crypt that we were in. That deathbed or that grave that He opens. Amen? And it reminds me too of a true story of a man who had wandered into a crypt years ago. He had wandered into a crypt and he was a visitor to this place. He was exploring some of the famous graveyards in the area, and how that he had wandered into the crypt and the doors behind him closed. He didn't know that it was his closing time, the janitor was about to leave, and he had bolted the door behind him. And he began to walk away, and the man ran to the door and he pounded. It was a big, thick, oaken wood door. And bruised hands, he continued to pound and pound and pound. And the guy receded, and he hollered and he yelled at the top of his lungs. And he fell to the floor, hopeless and helpless, bound up, doors bolted, no way out. Until the man, the janitor, began to walk up the stairs from this downstairs crypt, this area that was below the ground. And he began to walk up, but he thought he heard a faint noise. And something came into his mind. He thought, well, oh no, what if somebody is alive? And someone somehow got in there, or he wasn't quite sure what to think. And he redoubled his effort to go back. And this man was helplessly and hopelessly thinking that there was no way out. Now he was locked in there forever. Until this janitor opened the door and shone that lamp inside the crypt, and there that man rose up, full of joy, never so happy to see a janitor in his life. And he was set free. And so it is in our life of sin. There is no hope when we live a life of sin and compromise. Until the Lord opens the door, and until the Lord sets us free, we are entrapped and entombed, imprisoned in the life of sin, in the life of death, dead and dry bones. But the Lord knows how to deliver. Amen. The Lord knows how to make us once again alive unto Him. And it says here in verse 27, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice. This is the voice of the Almighty Living God, the resurrection. He will resurrect your life and my life, many to righteousness and many to damnation who have not obeyed the gospel. But let's go on to read here. And it says here in verse 29 of John chapter 5, and shall come forth, and they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Oh, the wicked that go there, forever and forever, lost. But those that have life and hope, forever and ever the joy of the Lord. peace and joy and life. Oh, the joy of knowing God. The joy of being resurrected unto life and salvation forever. That those who endure unto the end shall be saved. If you don't give up, if you don't give in to sin and to rebellion as Korah and Dathan did in the desert, and they ended up wandering in the desert for 40 years because of that. All the sin and rebellion. And the grave swallowed them up. Amen. Death came knocking on the door. I'm reminded too of another story about a man, and I'm getting on stories today. I'm not trying to be that way, but it just comes to mind. I'm just going to go with it. And how that this man had made a pact with the reaper. Now, this is more of an allegory, if you will. This is more of an illustration, if you will. This is not a true story per se, but something that is true to life nonetheless. This is something that will speak to you and me nevertheless. And it is about a man who, when the reaper had talked to this man and talked to him about, that one day the death reaper will come knocking on his door, and that he must be prepared for that day. And so on and on he went, living his life, and he agreed to this, and he says, okay, so be it. But you see, what I'm trying to say is, we never know when death will come. For some reason, death always surprises us. If there's never a convenient time for death. There's never a time when anyone's really, truly, maybe feeling like they're truly ready for death. But you see, this man said that he would be warned in advance. As the reaper told him, I will warn you before I come. And one day as he sat there, the reaper came knocking on his door. And this old man who had now white thinning hair, he said, you came so soon and I'm not ready for you. And the reaper says, yes, I gave you all kinds of warnings. You see that hair that used to be black and full on your head is now white, gray and thinning. You see how you turn your head to listen to me that you once were able to hear and to listen without any problems? You see the way that you look in the mirror and how you have to go up to the mirror real close to see yourself. You've been given many warnings, yes. You've been given many, many warnings of your time here on earth. And you were unprepared. And it's sad, but it is true. But now I've come for you and you must leave with me. And so it is. If we're unprepared in this life, if we live in a world of sin, where sin becomes a mockery of our life, and it mocks God, and it's a trap and it's a snare for all of us who walk in that way. It will become entombed. It becomes our grave, our tomb, until finally death swallows us up in the grave. And we die without Christ, without hope. Like that man I told you about that was in the crypt. We must be ready and we must be prepared. Because the Lord is going to come back, and He's going to come back with a shout. And all those who are ready will be caught up in the air. And that will be true life. We'll be leaving the place of death to a place of life. And it says here in verse 29, and shall come forth they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father, which has sent me. Oh, we know that the Lord is sending the Lord. He is sending forth messages, sending forth warnings, sending forth the Word of God to all peoples everywhere, all over the world, who will hear, who will listen, who will take heed, who will desire to be set free and delivered. Let's go to John chapter 11. John chapter 11. John chapter 11. The story picks up here about Lazarus. The life of Lazarus being raised from the dead. It's a picture, it's a metaphor, a word picture of you and me on this earth. It's a word picture of you and me before we knew Christ. Before we are delivered from death, from evil, from wickedness, the Lord will one day call your name. And will you listen? As I talked about that true story of the man on the bicycle driving through that village. And so here, let's go to verse 1. And let's read here. Verse 1, chapter 11, in the book of John. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus, of Bethany, a town of Mary and her sister Martha. Now Bethany was a small little town about 2 miles from Jerusalem. I don't know if it was north, east, south, or west. All I know is it's a town about 2 miles from Jerusalem. A town where Lazarus and Mary and Martha lived. And these were people that the Lord Jesus happened to love very much. And here it goes on to read, it was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. You remember that story and how that Mary, that woman who had been so full of sin, how that she repented and cried and cries of tears and agony and laid at the Lord's feet, humbling herself, asking for forgiveness and tears as she was washing his feet with her tears. What a word picture is that? What a story. That's another sermon right there. That is so interesting to me. That speaks volumes. And how that she washed his feet with the hair of her head, with her own hair. And it says here in verse 3, therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. You see, it's all about the glory of God. The reason Jesus did not go to Lazarus right away when he was sick, well, there were probably 2-3-fold reasons why. But one of them was so that the Lord Jesus would receive all the glory. That there would absolutely be no way that anybody could make any excuse that he was even halfway alive. When his body would begin to decay and rot, so it is in our life. We begin to decay and rot with sin in our life. We begin to decay and rot with all the rudiments of the world, of the flesh and carnal. Without Jesus, without the blood, Without redemption, without salvation, we are dead and dry. Dead bones in the desert. Deader than dead. No possible way for life to be in those bones. So it is. There is no possible way for life to still be in Lazarus. The Lord waited 4 days until he was decayed and beginning to rot, and where they talked about that he stinketh in the grave. Amen? Let's go on to read here. And here in verse 5, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. They were friends of Christ. Are you a friend of Christ? Are you one that the Lord could say to his disciples, I love them? Would the Lord weep over you? Are you close to the Lord? Are you a man or woman of God who would desire that kind of a relationship with the Lord, that he would call you his beloved? That he would say, they are my friends? And it goes on to say in verse 6, you see, this is going to be a spiritual test. We all go through tests, don't we? When he heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that, saith he to his disciples, let us go unto Judah again. Here is a place where previously in the book of John, we have read where they tried to stone him. They just tried to stone the Lord. But you see, he was trying to teach his disciples an important lesson. And that is to not fall into fear of man. The fear of things. The fear of man-made things. The fear of the devil. To not be afraid, but to live. The Bible says, the just shall live by faith. Fear nothing. Go with God. Trust in Him. And He'll deliver you. And it says here in verse 8, his disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou hither again? Oh, the courage that was found in the Lord. Amen. That same courage is the same kind of courage we ought to have. If we're afraid and if we don't have any courage, we are living beneath our means of victory. We are giving heed to the devil and holding his hand at the same time. We're giving the devil praise instead of God when we walk in fear and in worry. When we do that, we give the devil all the praise and all the glory, because by doing that, we take away that faith that God has given us. We walk away from that. We turn aside from it. We reject it. And we say, I don't have faith in the Lord. I'm going to sit here and worry and fear and fret and lose control and just get all messed up with, you know, all these things. But the Lord, who said in Psalm 23, talking about standing and lying your head, you know, beside still waters, even though we make a table before our enemies, that the Lord is able to deliver us from such a thing. Even though we are dead, yet we shall live. Even though we walk amidst enemies and wolves in our lives, we don't have to worry about and fear things. But when we trust God, He can deliver and save to the uttermost. And we don't have to worry and live in fear and worry. We don't have to do that. It's not something we have to subscribe to. That's not a part of the makeup that the Lord requires us to have. It's the Lord did say, yes, pick up your cross and follow me. But He didn't say that you have to take on worry and fear. Because, you know, we know that there is enough worry and fear for each day. There is enough trouble each day to take care of itself. We don't have to sit there and try to find ways and a means and things that we need to worry and fear about. All things that probably won't happen anyways. And so that's the devil that would like to whisper in your ear and cause you to fall in defeat and cause you to not have the joy and the peace. I've been there before. I know what it's like not to have any joy. I know what it's like not to have any peace. I know what it's like to worry and fret and fear, and I've learned some tough lessons. Boy, have I learned some tough lessons. But I think the Lord takes us through them so that we can see ourselves. Amen? He takes us through that so we can look in the mirror and say, look, this is what I was. And this is what the Lord delivered me from. That gives us room and space to give joy and peace and glory, or joy, to express that joy and to give glory to the Lord, to the Lord whom it's due. To give Him all the honor and praise. So, you know, I would want to encourage everyone today to not get caught up in all that, because I can tell you that I've been there and I've been delivered from it too. I'm not going to sit here and try to pretend to tell you that it may not happen again in the future, because I don't know what's going to happen in the future. Each day is a new day, and new things can happen in your life and my life that can test us and try us. But we don't have to give in to those defeatism ways of thinking and living. Dead men's bones. We don't have to go there anymore. And it says here in verse 9, Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in a day? If any man walk in a day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. In other words, he sees where the light is coming from. That light is in the Lord. He understands that where the light is, there is salvation. Where the light is, there's safety. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. He's trying to show us that there is darkness, that when we walk in darkness, we stumble. When we don't have the light of Christ in us, that water of life, we stumble and we walk in fear and worry, and we walk in defeat, and we don't love our brothers and sisters in Christ. We find ways to be contrary. We do things that we ought not to do. We find ourselves in the cesspool of confusion, sin, wickedness, and things that are contrary to the Spirit of God. And so the Lord is trying to show us we need to wake up. We need to rise up and allow the Lord to do a work in our lives. Allow the Lord to say, come forth in your life. Says here, these things said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of his sleep. That's exactly what he's trying to do here spiritually for us. The Lord's trying to awake us from our sleep and slumber. It's a spiritual thing. It's not physical, but it's spiritual. And this is what I'm hoping that you can see and understand today. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit, Jesus spake of his death. But they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. You see, even his disciples who have been around him, who have watched him and heard him and spoke with him and ate with him, didn't understand the things of God, because these were set forth as an example for generations to follow, that those, whoever would live on this earth, could look at this and glean truth and learn from it as an example for you and for me, how that we should spiritually discern things, how that we should spiritually look at things, how that we should spiritually become alive and well again, and how that we could, with both ears and both eyes and our whole heart, see and to hear and to understand the things of God with clarity and truth. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. In other words, we know that there were probably other reasons that the Jews were probably trying to set up trying to claim that Jesus was trying to, if he would have been there, they would have had all kinds of accusations for him, all kinds of misinformation to try to come against this miracle, to try to disqualify the things that the Lord was doing. And the Lord said, I was glad that I was not there, because he wanted them to believe truly and fully that when he was fully dead, that when he would come there, there would be no question, there would be no doubt as to where that a miracle had taken place. And here, let's go here into verse 16. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us go also, or let us also go, that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Oh, the death of the grave. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Already he was stinking. Already he was starting to decay. Already, after 4 days, you can imagine what the smell would have been like. I wouldn't even want to know. But now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came, and Martha and Mary, to comfort them concerning their brother. In other words, they had great sympathy. And Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went with them, met him, and Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. You see, here is a big test. She didn't have much faith, yet she believed that the Lord could raise him from the dead. But like all of us, we think that, oh, if something happens to us, if the Lord had only been with me, if the Lord had only been with me. But the Lord allows things to happen in your life. He'll allow certain things to happen. So don't be discouraged or in great despair, because usually when you're living for the Lord and you love Jesus, all things happen for the good of them that love him. And we know that he will test and try, and he'll do things in your life that you don't always understand. Why, Lord? Why did that happen? Why did this happen? Why did my loved one die? Why, Lord? Why did that have to happen? Then Martha, as soon as she had heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. In other words, the resurrection that was promised. We're talking about the promised resurrection. And Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Sometimes what we need in our life is to have somebody tell us, you will rise again. You will live. You're going to be okay. This is only a test, only a trial. Sometimes we need to hear that from other folk. But when we get into the depths of prayer, we can hear it from the words of the Lord. When we open the Bible, we can read it. We can be inspired, encouraged, and strengthened in hope and have faith. And hear those same words, thy brother shall rise again from the heap of death and ruin, ashes. Death can't hold you forever when you live in Christ. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. I'm reminded of a true story too now about a Crimean soldier in the country of Crimea. It's in Europe, an old city in Europe. And how that this in a war, I forget the name of the war. I think it was the war of Inkton or Inkor, and I'm not even sure if that's correct, but if I remember correctly, it was a war, like a civil war, and this young man was in this war, and he had died. As he was dying, though, he crawled to the shade of a tree that was nearby, and he found the Bible, and he opened to the Word of God, and where it said, I am the resurrection and the life. And he placed his bloody fingers, as if to fall into a sleep, with his hands right on that scripture, pointing to that verse, full of blood. And when they came to lift him up, they didn't know what was going on at that moment, but when they came to lift up him, his body from the ground, under that shade tree, they heard a tear, and they found that his finger, bloody as it was stuck to that gospel, to the page of the Bible. And there they buried him with that page on his finger that said, I am the resurrection and the life, pointing to that scripture verse. And you see, so it is in our life. Until the Lord, we might die in this dead body, this suit that we carry in our life. We might carry it around for years. In years, but there comes a time when death comes knocking. There comes a time when we must give up the ghost, so to speak. When we must, like that man I was talking about, give an account for our life. The day is coming for each of us. In that song, when coffins are coming. We know that there is an appointed time for each of us. But we know that there is a great Redeemer, and that there is redemption for those that are saved, those that are saved from sin, death, and hell. There is hope. There is a resurrection. There is life to those that die in Christ. Amen. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. There is another sermon right there. And calleth for thee. Is the Lord calling for you? Oh, praise God, to have the Lord calling for your name, calling for you. He is asking for you. Are you answering the call? Are you open to hearing His words? Are you open to seeing and to understanding? Are you hearing that knock on your door of your heart? Are you ready? Are you going to be made ready? Do you have a willingness in your heart to be made ready? And it says here in verse 29, as soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto Him. In other words, obedience to Christ. She was obedient. Are we obedient? Are we walking in great obedience to the Lord? Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met Him. The Jews then which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, bear with me here as I turn the page. She goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come, when Jesus was, and saw Him, she fell down at His feet, saying unto Him, Lord, if Thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Now this is Mary doing the same thing that Martha did. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, He groaned in the spirit and was troubled. Oh, He was a man of sorrows, wasn't He? He was a man of many sorrows. And He said, where have ye laid Him? They said unto Him, Lord, come and see. And Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, behold how He loved Him. Oh, isn't that interesting? Jesus wept. He truly must have loved Lazarus. Does He weep over you? Are we spiritually dead? Does He weep over you when you sin? When you are in rebellion? I believe He does. As He intercedes for us all the time. And some of them said, could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused this, that even this man should not yet, or not, should not have died? And Jesus therefore again, groaning in Himself, cometh to the grave. Oh, is He coming to your grave? Is He going to open your grave? That casket? It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. And Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Oh, praise God. Take ye away the stone. Take the stony heart away. Take ye the stony heart, the stony way of thinking, the grave clothes, death. The Word of God is teaching us that the Lord wants us to know that the Lord is willing to take away that grave from you, that death, the stony heart. Take ye away the stone. Take ye away the stony heart. Oh, take ye away the sin in our life. All that corruption, that greed, the filth, that daily will try to attack us and cause us to stumble and fall. And there's Jesus. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of Him that was dead, saith unto Him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Oh, dear God. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up His eyes and said, Father, I thank Thee that Thou hast heard Me, and I knew that Thou hearest Me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that Thou hast sent me." Do you believe that God is able to deliver you? Do you truly believe that the Lord can deliver you from sin, death, and hell? Do you believe that God is willing to deliver you? Many people out there think that the Lord doesn't even hear them. Many people think that the Lord doesn't care about them. Many people go on through life thinking that they're rejected, that they have no hope, that there is no hope. But I'm here to tell you today that the Lord is going to try to tell you to your life that He's willing to roll away the stone. And if you believe, you too can rise from the ashes, from the death heap of ruin and disgrace. God can help you. He can redeem you. He is the conqueror of death. And it says here, "And he that was dead came forth, bound," oh Lord God, this is another sermon. "And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes. In his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto him, Loose him and let him go." That's what the Lord is trying to tell us today. Loose him. Let him go. Loose him from those grave clothes. When we put on the robes of righteousness, amen, delivered from its death of sin and all this filth on the earth, one day will be arose, will rise again to a new life. Just like those that are going down in the waters of baptism. You arise and you walk in the newness of life. Amen? And you put on new clothes, spiritual clothes, clothes of faith, of hope, clothes that are covered in the blood of Jesus. To be made white and pure, amen. To be a man and woman that will be delivered from that, from sin, death, and hell forever and ever and ever. "Then many of the Jews, which came to Mary and had seen these things which Jesus did, believed on him. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them the things Jesus had done." Busybodies. Are there any busybodies in churches today? I would say so. Looking to cause trouble with people? Looking to cause trouble in the work of God? "Then they gathered the chief priests of the Pharisees a council and said, What do we for this man doeth many miracles? If we let him thus alone," these were plots that were laying. They were laying the groundwork to destroy the Lord, to kill him somehow. "And one of them, named Caiaphas, being the high priest that same year, said unto them, Ye know nothing at all, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation should perish not. And this spake he not of himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for the nation." In other words, salvation would come. When Jesus died, that meant salvation for you and me. "And not for the nation only, but that he should gather together in one of the children of God that were scattered abroad. Then from that day forth they took counsel together for to put him to death." That was a conspiracy to destroy the works of the Lord, the devil's plot and plan to destroy any vestige of hope, to ruin the testimony of the Lord. Go to Isaiah with me, Isaiah 25. There it says here, He will swallow up death in victory. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces. And the rebuke of His people shall He take away from off all the earth. For the Lord has spoken it. And it shall be said in that day, Lo, this is our God. We have waited for Him, and He will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for Him. We will be glad and rejoice in His salvation. Amen. And I praise God for that. We know that the Lord is truly that salvation. He is the one that we have waited for. Are you waiting for Him? We've waited for Him all our life. Talked about Him, read His Word, went to church, sang songs of joy and praise and worship. And we continue to wait. But you see, the Lord is the one who will come and swallow up that death that we have been made to live in this earth. He will swallow up that death in victory. He will come again. He will come again a second time. And we will rise up in the air to meet Him. Go to John 10 real quick. John chapter 10. In closing. I believe I'm closing right there. John chapter 10. In John 10. Here it says in verse 25, And Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them to me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I praise God. You know that the Lord who, the same one, who is ready and willing to deliver us, and call us forth from the graveyard, from the casket of sin, that we might live eternally. And again, He's coming back a second time. And that we go rise up to meet Him in the air. We will be caught up in the air to meet Him. Well, we will go to eternal reward. Some to damnation who have not believed and obeyed the Word of God. But those who have obeyed to life eternal in the Lord, where there is hope, where there is joy, where there is life. We know that because the Lord lives, because He rose again, we too will rise. Amen. I'm reminded in a story of closing, a true story of a young boy who As he sat and watched, there was an old man who happened along this village. He was walking along this village, and there was an art display. And on that display was a man of... As he was watching, he saw this huge painting, this picture of the crucifixion of the Lord, and how that He was on that cross, and there was Martha, Mary, the mother of the Lord, Mary, was there too. And some of His disciples and the Roman soldiers were round about the cross. And how that He was sitting there, thinking back for years and years and years, He had not allowed such a thought to come into His mind. And as He was impressed by the picture, He realized that there was somebody standing next to Him. And He looked behind Him and He looked down. There was a little boy. And He says, Sir. The little boy was telling this old man, Sir, you see that man up on that cross? That's Jesus. They put nails into his hand and they put him on that cross with that crown on his head. And do you see Mary? That's his mom. She's weeping for him. Do you see the blood that runs down his arms, his feet? That came from him. He died and shed his blood that we might live. And this is a young boy witnessing to this old man. And the man thought this was just too much for him. He remembered when he was a young boy, he had heard all the stories and he had walked away. And he was walking away and all of a sudden he heard the footsteps behind him and somebody pulling his coattails. And he turns around to see the young boy crying out to this old man, "Oh, I forgot to tell you, sir. And he rose again. I forgot to tell you, he rose again." And that's what we need to know. We will rise again too. The Lord rose. He rose again. And we're going to rise again when we meet Him in the air. Redeemed and renewed and set free from the prison house of this old sinful world. We'll be renewed in our hearts and our minds. Resurrected new bodies. Like that young boy witnessing to that old man. Praise God for that. So I want to close and just encourage everyone to be encouraged, to know that the Lord is willing and able to deliver you from sin, death, and hell. And to be encouraged that He's coming back again. There is hope. We can have faith and believe in these troubled times, in these days of anarchy and trouble and confusion everywhere. We can have hope in the risen Lord. We can have hope that He will too one day come calling for us from the grave of death, despair, hopelessness. Come forth, Lazarus. Come forth. Amen. Praise God. And I'm not quite sure what song we should sing, but I'm just going to believe God to help us to show us what one to go to here.